Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Lane Violation Podcast, where we might just cross the line. My name is Greg Mello, and along with me, my wonderful co-hosts, Andre Turan and Louis Ricard. What's up, guys?
Doing well, my man. Let's get this episode 4 on the road.
You know me, big bees. Big bees.
We also have another wonderful guest for all of you. One man who bawled his eyes out when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, our man Seth Schlechter. What's going on, man?
Happy to be here. That said, I did not bawl my eyes out. Here in Medill, we would call that fake news.
Hey, Seth, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people, let them know who you are, what you do here.
So as Greg said, I'm Seth. I am a diehard NBA fan, and I'm just here to talk hoops. That's about it.
All right, cool. Cool.
Let's get this money.
Awesome, guys. We're going to have a relatively fun show, I think, for you guys today. Just a few days removed from Halloween. We'll talk a little bit of basketball and then dive into some fun. So, Dre, you going to bring us into the headlines this week?
I guess, man. So, another week of basketball under our belt. You know, this season feels like, I mean, I know they've only played probably a total of, like, maybe 7 games, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not combined, of course, but it seems to be rolling pretty smooth.
High scoring.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's talk about a guy who's been in the news constantly, and I call him a head case, but I kind of like it. It's like he's nuts. Jimmy Butler, man. We still don't know what's going on in Minnesota. We're trying to figure out the whole ordeal.
I think Minnesota's trying to figure out what Minnesota's trying to do.
Yeah, clearly. But Greg, go ahead and tell the people what Jimmy did the other day, talking about his body, bro.
His body. I mean, well, first off, earlier midweek, Jimmy Butler, talking with Tom Thibodeau and the medical staff, they mutually decided that Butler was going to sit out. And they went with the headline of precautionary reasons, wear and tear, rest sort of a deal. But we had kind of controversial reports coming out from Shams and Woj. One side kind of said that this is Butler's way of saying, I'm staying out of it for right now. I'm not quite sure when I'm going to be back. Kind of maybe some like Kawhi Leonard undertones, sort of like last season. Woj kind of put it in perspective that Jimmy's still going to be, traveling with the team and he's still going to be around. But it's definitely a little weird of a situation, especially considering the fact that Butler has been, he's been so intense for the first few weeks of the season. But yeah, he comes out and he says that he's sitting out versus the Utah Jazz because his body is sore.
But he said he doesn't want soreness to turn into injury. Soreness now. I am an ex-athlete, not an NBA level. I played football in college, so I would know a little bit about soreness. But, I mean, I get the body preservation thing. He also doesn't know where he's going to end up by the end of the year. Neither does Minnesota.
No.
Neither do the teams are negotiating with them. But, hey, I mean, the formula worked for Kawhi. We see what he's doing now. I mean, he played 9 games. Dude was all right. Dude was okay last year. But, hey, Jimmy going Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jimmy, I think, is making the choice here that he's not going to put himself into any danger, especially because he wants to get traded out. He wants to, be on a team where he feels the most comfortable. And we have the usual list of suspects right now. Really, it's the Rockets and the Heat that seem to be the ones floating around. The Sixers have been reported to be interested, though. From their camp, it seems like they're kind of out of it. So, and we know that there might possibly be like a fourth team or something that'll become interested later. But it's a really strange situation, Louis.
It reminds me a little bit of Kawhi Leonard with the Spurs last year. I called him Kawhi Leonard 2.0 on Twitter. Not to this extent, because he's not trying to be a diva, and he knows that his contract is expiring, very soon. And he knows also that he brings some value to the table, but I don't know if teams see him as that valuable anymore, because he's doing all this tantrum and throwing all these crazy, quotes everywhere, and taking the third third stringers with Minnesota the Wolves and dominating the first stringers and talking smack to Karl Anthony Towns, to Andrew Wiggins, beefing with Wiggins' brother on social media. It's kind of getting nuts. And besides a few teams, I mean, the only team that I would see him really evolve and improve as a player and improve the team as well would be the Miami Heat. But I'm not sure that I like what he's doing right now. I think if you're him, like Andre said, you're sore. Guess what? You're getting millions of dollars to do what you do. Get on the court, ball out, get that max deal somewhere, and actually earn it instead of sitting out and, well, people know my value. People know my worth. I am the best player ever, and I'm a great defender. And did you guys know that I work hard and I play hard, by the way? Did I mention that? No, who cares? Ball out. Get those 20 points, get those 3 steals a game. He's leading the league in steals. Like, it's crazy.
The other thing that I can appreciate in the sense is that I love to see the athlete with the deck of cards in his hand. Like, he's dealing all the cards.
Literally.
And a lot of times, athletes don't get that opportunity. So, in one sense, it's like, all right, bro. But at the same time, it's nice to see that in these leagues, in these big leagues, I mean, it's more in the NFL where they really have no rights. But in the NBA, you know, we've seen players get expanded abilities to say what they want to do or act the way they want to act or accomplish things. Like, because they are, to owners, they're expendable pieces. Because if they weren't performing, they would get rid of them. If they weren't good enough, they'd get rid of them. You're expendable.
Yes.
So it's cool to see that he has the cards in his hand, and he's playing his game. But one thing I can't agree with what Jimmy's saying is the fact that you know what you're going to get out of him every night. He's not a guy that's going to slouch because he's a competitor. He's an ultimate competitor. So every night he's going to go out there and put his body on the line.
If he decides to play.
Yeah, if he decides to play.
The story's only going it's only going to get weirder before this is resolved.
Oh, yeah.
That's the crazy thing about all of this. And in my head, I know we're going to get there, so I don't want to jump the gun. But I've got somewhat of a theory in terms of the Timberwolves, a.k.a. the Timberwolves, and Timber Bulls. It's all just a cycle. It's weird. So I'm sure we're going to get to that. I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm going to hand it back over to the co-host to take the conversation wherever it needs to go.
Seth is not wrong, though. Seth is not wrong. There is something to be said about it. And I think that the NBA and the drama is so exceptionally well displayed for the public to watch that the NBA feels more and more like a reality TV show.
It is a reality TV show. It's 100%. It's unlike insane. Any other league. Obviously, there's a game on the floor, but between Twitter, you know, guys beefing and talking trash and deciding to sit because you're sore, well, I guarantee 95% of the league is sore. You know, it's comical. It's awesome. A circus. It's really a circus.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that we can, I feel like we'll be able to dive on another podcast for sure. Just kind of like, I think of the contrast between the NBA and the MLB, how you really display your star players. But yeah, absolutely. Dre, I think we're going to stay in Minnesota though for this next topic here.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. Man, let's talk about my boy Derek, man.
D-Ro?
I the other night when he dropped 50, me and Greg, we were at the Bulls game, watching and covering that, and after it was like Fred Hoiberg's presser, I realized that D Rose has scored 50, and I was like, oh, because I think mid game we saw that he had like 37. We were like, okay, that's cool, that's what's up. But this guy shot 19 for 31 from the field. That's almost 67%. He was hitting almost 2/3 of the shot, and then he hit 4 of 7 from 3. And you're just looking at. I was just looking at the highlights before the segment, and he looked explosive. He looked confident. He looked confident in his jump shot, and he's never going to look like the guy that's the MVP level guy again. Whether it's a combination of his body being worn down and a little bit and some mental blocks and some of the things he's been through, but it was just good to see. And I made a tweet just saying that, you know, it's the ups and downs, it's the pain, it's the trials, it's the tribulation that make the triumph so great in sports. These are the stories that we live for. And I will say people do need to slow down on the hype, because I don't think that's sustainable for him.
Any realistic fan realizes, you know, that's a one-off performance. Yeah.
But it's great to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, phenomenal story.
The 30 for 30 is going to be unreal.
The thing about it, though, it wasn't even – obviously, he had an unbelievable – he had a career game, you know, removed from all these injuries, the rehab. He hasn't looked like this in a long time. But I think the thing that made it so special was just the pure raw emotion he showed after. You know, he worked so hard.
So true.
And it was just – As a casual Derrick Rose fan, how could you not be happy for the guy?
He revolutionized the league when he came in.
Oh, absolutely.
When he won that MVP, like, he showed and displayed a level of athleticism that that was unmatched. Like, he was Westbrook before Westbrook ever exploded, if you think about it. And for him to put up 50, and if you watch the highlights, we'll put up the highlights on the Twitter account. He did some filthy, like, there were some filthy moves out there. And
there were shades of vintage Rose. Like, yeah, we said, he'll never be back to that player.
He'll never dunk on five people at the same time.
But he was doing things that you hadn't seen out of him in years.
No, and that's the thing. No one, I don't think anyone really, whoever is, you know, very NBA enthusiast, mm-hmm. like, who's watching, no one questioned his skills. He always had the skills. He's the NBA, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But his athleticism was being questioned, his will to really power through his injuries and get back and get this money, that was questioned. And I think he really showed that he was still here to play.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like we've been saying, it was a one-off, but it was certainly something that you can feel good about as a sports fan, just kind of watching that kind of moment. I know that there was also a lot of pushback, you know, within the hours afterward of the game, because you know how crazy NBA Twitter gets, how the hype train kind of rolls, and
yeah.
How some fans will like kind of glorify that moment. Like, I will take like a moment to say that, you know, Derrick Rose, you know, off court Derrick Rose is still dealing with some things involving some sexual allegations, and I'd like to just say, like, that's something that, you know, when we talk about these sports guys, we got to look at them from all angles, sort of a deal, and really kind of take that into account. So, you know, good for him for that performance for the one day. I think it's interesting that it happened the same day that Jimmy Butler sat out, that he got off, and that Derrick Rose stepped up afterward.
I teased that idea a second ago. I'll get to it when you're done.
Oh, sure, sure. But, you know, I'd also like to take a moment, like, let's relax, like everyone said, like, it's good moment, but, you know, we got to keep ourselves in perspective in sports for sure. But go ahead, Seth.
All right, so any basketball fan knows that the Minnesota Timberwolves are really just the, like, 2010 Bulls.
Dun, 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 dun.
And if anyone thought that a team that couldn't accomplish anything in the East in its prime could accomplish things in the West 5-10 years later, they're crazy. But one really interesting thing I saw about this. So as you might know, the NBA has started seasons earlier. Halloween used to be the premier night in the NBA. It was the first night, you know, it was Halloween and Christmas were two huge days in the NBA. You know, there weren't as many premier matchups. And this kind of was the storyline. But if you'll remember back to Derrick Rose on the Bulls after his first injury, when he got re-injured again on Halloween, and he started sitting out with, you know, he became general soreness. He sat out a lot. And I just thought it was interesting that Jimmy Butler sat out with general soreness. And look at Derrick Rose coming back. So maybe there was a little inside job there that Jimmy's like, you know what, you're my boy. Go out there. Show what you still got. I'm going to chill on the bench right here. I'm going to get paid by someone eventually. And I don't really care if I play tonight. So I think this is like a little 2011 Chicago Bulls insider trading between these
they
two
do,
players.
They do have a good relationship. I mean,
they have a great relationship.
Everyone was trying to blow them out of proportion, saying, oh, like, Jimmy Butler cannot be Jimmy Butler if Derrick Rose is here, or vice versa. But
they're boys.
They've been really good friends. And Jimmy Butler, to kind of, I guess, help that conspiracy theory, tweeted right after the game saying, you know, like, I knew from day one, from 2011.
It was
an
inside job, I'm telling you.
It could be.
Doesn't change it. Doesn't change anything. It was an inside job.
I wouldn't go that far, but I agree.
They took the Space Jam basketball behind the scenes, and Jimmy Butler just put it in there. Derrick Rose is like, thanks, man. And
they got it.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. Dre, I think we're staying in the Midwest to talk about another kind of a train wreck of a team. What do we got for you?
Man, I don't really. You want to dedicate a whole segment to these clowns, and you know, I understand the fact LeBron James left. Okay, but y'all are professionals. But it just shows you the incompetence, and it shows you the incompetence of Dan Gilbert and his ability to run a team. Is the reason why Cleveland is about to be the topic here for the rest of this segment.
You know the NBA is just going to give him the one pick. That's what happens. LeBron leaves, you get 3-1 picks in a row, you're good to go. And then he comes home. It might be a little old to do that this time.
Yeah, most def. So Greg, let me ask you, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Cleveland shopping Kyle Korver and JR? Or the fact that, you know, they got fined for talking about trading JR? And, or do you want to talk about how they're going to host the 2022 All-Star game? Or do you want to talk about Larry Drew?
Let's start.
Or do you want to talk about how terrible they are?
Dude, this is the most. Let's start with this. This is the most airtime Cleveland will get all season. So just.
Let's give it to
them. So just give it to them. Give them a solid 5 minutes because this is not happening again.
Let's start with just the first domino, which was Tyronn Lue getting fired.
Why? Talk about a trash decision, all right? I'm going to go on a little rant here about this. I'm not a Ty Lue guy. Allen Iverson made him his for lack of a better word, bitch in the 2001 final, I believe it was.
So and
that is how I will always recognize Tyronn Lue. But to not give a guy a chance to coach this team after he came in midseason, well, not midseason, what was it, like 30 games in when they fired Blatt.
When he also was the assistant coach.
Led a team to the finals. I believe they won his first year, down 3-1. I put a little asterisk there because if Draymond Green does not get suspended, they don't win that championship. Anyway, he won a championship. Next year, comes back. He's dealing with – I mean, this timeline might be a little bit skewed. Kyrie wants out. They're beefing. What do? They go back to the finals. I know LeBron was obviously a huge part of that, but to manage these big personalities and all these guys who are, you know, former all-stars and things like that, to get back to the finals, I know they lost again. To not give the guy the decency – to at least see out how this plays and give him a true chance to coach this team once LeBron leaves, once you trade Kyrie, your team is not very good anymore. You got a bunch of, not scrubs, but washed-up players. How do you fire a guy 5 games into a season after the things he did for your team? He won your first championship.
Unless you're from Phoenix. Phoenix doesn't.
No, yeah. I mean, but to give him his first opportunity to actually coach this team, he doesn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
I think it's absolute garbage that they didn't let him see out at least this season. Like, what they expect to go back to the finals again this year? Look at your roster. You have Tristan Thompson, an awful deal because he's clutch sports. He's LeBron's guy. Let's give him big money. We give JR big money. He's not worth. You know, Kevin Love's not fat anymore. He's not as good as he was in Minnesota. His team isn't good. You drafted Colin Sexton. LeBron was on record saying how much he loved Colin Sexton. Like, that might have factored into you signing it or drafting him. LeBron dipped anyway. Give the man the little bit of respect. Actually, I think he deserves a lot of respect and should be in this job right now. And I think it's garbage that they fired him. And that's all I got to say. Wow. Sorry for that.
It's a lot of info. Greg, what do you make of it?
I mean, I kind of agree with a lot of what Seth said. I was also never like a huge Ty Lue fan. I actually thought that, you know, from a play design perspective, David Blatt was a superior coach. I think Ty Lue was there to be just like the player manager sort of a deal.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was really like LeBron who was the guy that kind of worked with him to get sets run and whatnot. Because, I mean, you know, if you have LeBron James, there's no real reason to run like a ton of, you know, important plays for anyone else if you're just going to give him the ball like 90% of the time. But, yeah, I think that it's really just a bad showing by ownership here. To, you know, not even wait. You got to give a guy at least like a month or two before you make decisions like this. And, you know,
he won you a championship. At least give him a season.
Yeah.
At least a season.
Yeah. It's not a good look. It's not a good look at all.
It's Dan Gilbert. Which I don't want.
Thank you.
You continue.
No, see, I'm gonna be with Andre here. I think Andre and I are connecting because the Draws team is back. But
Draws.
I think that Dan Gilbert is a straight up psychopath who is completely delusional about how basketball is supposed to work. Yes, the guy knows how to make money. I'll give him that. Here's the problem. If you're going to fire your coach, fire him throughout the summer. Don't fire him 6 games. How does that impact anything? Fire him throughout the summer and get someone in to get to know the guys. You start the season fresh. You start it well with a new organization. That's fine. However, like Seth said, you have a guy who brought you the first championship ever in Cleveland basketball history.
With LeBron. But
with LeBron. Still.
Someone had to coach.
He will go down as the coach who led a team of men and got the championship. Yes, he wasn't the smartest basketball player ever. Yes, he got his ankles shattered by AI. However,
hold up. I want to unpack that myth, man. He played some good defense there.
He did. No, he played some good defense.
I believe Iverson dropped what, 50 that game?
No, that was solid. But that specific play that he got stepped over, he played some decent.
I mean, it's just iconic. It's Iverson. What do you expect?
Yeah, like
pound for pound, the greatest player in NBA history.
Dre, let me get
great defense on that play.
I don't care if you want to cut him some slack. He will still be like Allen Iverson's dog for the rest of his life.
Wolf.
Wait. However, hold on a second. I'm gonna lose my train of thought if I don't focus here. However, when you got a guy who kind of lost the respect of his team at this point, and who, when LeBron leaves, everyone is questioning his ability to lead a team of men, you know, without LeBron, because LeBron apparently was doing a lot of the intra leadership and was kind of reporting to Ty Lue. So there was kind of a two-way system here, and Ty Lue did it really well. He knew what he had to do. He knew how to put everything in place. But now he lost LeBron. There wasn't like that bridge that LeBron created from the players to him. And I think there was a disconnection here. If you're Dan Gilbert, you have to be able to see that. If you're the assistant coaches, you have to be able to see that. There's a reason Kevin Love wants Larry Drew to become the head coach for a while. But Larry Drew knows that Dan Gilbert is straight up like crazy and will fire him if he has one loss on his record from the get-go. So Larry Drew wants to hold out and wants the big contract because he knows he's going to get screwed if he doesn't, which I completely understand.
I mean, this is a guy also that, you know, from 2010, 2011 to 2013, 2014, he took that Hawks team. That was a good Hawks team.
Yeah.
We're talking Larry Drew now?
2012.
I want to pose a question to you guys. If you're Larry Drew, do you take the interim tag?
No.
I don't.
No, I don't do it.
No,
based off his track record, how could you possibly say, yeah, I'll coach the team the rest of the year without a guarantee of, you know, a salary increase or a new contract? Like, what benefit to him?
Well,
he's got it's not like they're going to, like, compete for a playoff spot.
No.
Like, there's no without a contract, I guess you could say it's a tryout for next year, but given the volatility of this job over the last however many years, why, like, there's no benefit to doing this.
Like, he has right now he has the title of associate head coach, which is basically, like, if the head coach is fired or out because of sickness or stuff, you step up. But, you know, this team and this ownership group and this front office has never been stable aside from the David Griffin years with not LeBron.
I still can't believe we're still talking about Cleveland. This is wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, Larry Drew, he's got to do what's best for him, you know, regardless. And I think the players love him too. Like, Kevin Love put on he was like, listen, get Larry Drew over here. Like, to be the coach then, if you're going to do this, Ty Lue. I think that, you know, that's...
This is a guy that's been... He's been in the league as an assistant coach for years. And he's been... I mean, and this is a role he stepped into before. In 2017, 2018, he took on the interim tag when Lue had to take that medical absence.
The team was
8-1. And also before, he was an assistant coach with Atlanta before he took over those Hawks teams. That, you know, had their own quote unquote big three, if you want to consider them that, or four, because they had.
Was it the Horford, Joe Johnson,
Korver? Yeah, the team that was in the East for a while and was supposed to like.
That was post Josh Smith.
That was post Josh Smith.
So it was like Damari Carroll. That's when they were. Or no, that was Budenholzer.
Mike Budenholzer was the 60.
These were the years like when they had Korver as an all star, Horford as an all star, Joe Johnson, and Teague. So, like, those teams – and those teams were, like,
I think those teams usually lost about 4 or 5 games to LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, it's LeBron.
Like, but everyone does.
The fact of the matter is this is a guy with a proven track record who's been a mainstay in this league for years now. And there's nothing wrong with him saying, I want a legitimate contract. Because, like Louis said, Dan Gilbert is off his rockers. He's an incompetent owner.
Hot take on Dan Gilbert. Ready for this one? Dan Gilbert, Michigan State alum, lives in Detroit. He's going to eventually – I mean – I don't know what now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know now because Cavs have zero value, but he will eventually, in my opinion, sell the Cavs and buy the Pistons. Boom. You heard it here first.
I can see that.
He's also been rumored to buy the Lions. This guy lives in Detroit. He flies to Cleveland for this stuff. And that's what I think. Moving on.
There's also talks. I'm sorry. I just read an article saying that he said on, I think after the loss on Thursday night, that progress was being made in the direction he wants, which means that I think that the ownership is starting to realize that they can't go full crazy mode, and that they have to give the man some money, and that they have to like let him know that he's worth, like, you know, a couple of years at least. So we'll see where this goes, because I mean, this could be big for the future of Cleveland, because let's face it, they're in complete rebuilding mode. Okay, like they're shopping their players, their veteran players, and they have a very promising point guard. No matter what anyone says, he's incredibly tenacious, and he can ball. So they will see what they can do. But I think they should give him that contract, because he's earned it. His years in the league, he's paid his dues. Give them in the contract. Let him lead this team and see what he can do with it, because he's proven that he can lead teams that are not expected to be great into pretty good territory.
All right, this is a lot longer than I expected to focus on the Cavs. So let's make the decision now, because I know we have a hard out. Do we want to talk about JR and Kyle Korver, or are we good?
It's not
all right, let's move on. The Cavs, for their blessed ownership decisions, they got the 2022 All-Star game, by the way. But let's move on to the next segment. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna talk about some more early NBA trends. You know, we're 2 weeks into the season now. You know, most teams played 7 to 9 games so far. So I got a couple of teams listed here that I'm going to open it up to you guys who you want to talk about. We have the Wizards and the Rockets here as the most disappointing teams in the league.
Yikes.
Sacramento Kings as one of the most surprising teams. They're 6-3 right now to start. You know, Kings going to win the West. And we have Lakers talk, but I think we can always jump into. So what do you guys feel like talking about?
Let's start with the Kings.
The Kings?
You want the Kings?
I like the Kings.
Give me the Kings.
Louis, I'll let you open up the Kings, because you destroyed me last night in our fantasy matchup with De'Aaron Fox.
To all three of our viewers and listeners, thank you, our mothers, and maybe my sister. I don't know if you're listening. I want to point out that Greg was leading in our fantasy matchup.
They put up 150 last night, didn't they? 146, I think it was.
Something like that. But up until last night, Greg was leading. And my man, my guy, De'Aaron Fox, showed why I picked him as one of the early picks in my fantasy league. The man dropped a triple-double, but not just any.
First of his career, right?
Yeah, but not just any triple-double. A 30-pointer with, I want to say, what was it, 10 assists?
Yeah, no, it was 15.
15 assists and 10 rebounds?
Yeah, I think he was the youngest player to ever record. I was 25, 15 to 10, I believe.
Insane.
Love to see it.
Insane. They are killing it because they are having fun. They're promoting a fun culture of basketball. They're all young guys, except for like a couple of veterans, but they're all young guys who want to prove that they belong in the league. So they are working together toward one similar goal. They don't have any, you know, leadership clashes, you know, with who's running the team for real. Everyone
just
wants
to play. They don't have a boogie anymore.
They don't have a boogie. Yeah, they don't have a boogie. And they are loving this. And the city is starting to embrace them. And Puma is making bank out of Marvin Bagley. I'm just saying, these boys know what they're doing, and I'm all about the Kings right now.
I have a question about the Kings. I'm going to butcher his name because I always do.
Don't do it.
You might know who I'm talking about.
Bohan Bogdanovic?
No.
Nemanja Bjelica.
Bjelica. His name is not spelled any resemblance of the way it's pronounced.
Seth just doesn't care about
names. Is this guy the MVP of the league after 9 games? This is a guy who agreed to a contract with the Philadelphia 76ers this summer and said,
so brutal.
Oh, I'm going to go play back home. And I don't know where he's from, so I'm not going to throw out a country. He was going to go play abroad. And actually, you know, he signs with the Kings. I've never seen anything like
but
this
in my life.
But
multiple people have done that. Because what was it, Yogi Ferrell? Who is Yogi? He was about to go ahead and stay with Dallas.
Like, what's in the water in Sacramento that all these guys are like, oh, last second change of heart. Let's go live in Northern California.
You know why? Because they know that they're welcome.
But this guy has been good. He's been a contributor.
The Kings are not the.
Here's my question.
The Kings are not the Browns of the NBA. They're not a graveyard for players anymore. The Kings are all about talent.
Let's slow down on that one. It's been 9 games.
Just
say. Here's my other question. When's the last time the Sacramento Kings were 3 games above 500? Had to be like the Doug Christie, Peja Stojakovic days, right? They haven't been good in God knows how long.
No, but Boogie might have given them like a. I have to look this up.
If I'm
Boogie,
like, I'm actually
if
like
Boogie gave them like a 6-3 start. That seems like something Boogie might have been able to
did
do.
Did they even sniff the playoffs when he was there?
Oh no,
no way.
No,
so like,
not.
It might be longer than we think. The Chris Webber, like Vlade Divac.
But hold
days.
On, let's stop the train here, because let's not forget that Vlade Divac is in their front office. So something stupid is going to occur by the time the year's over.
Remember when he gave the Sixers an unprotected first pick so he could go sign Rajon Rondo for a year? That was smart.
I mean.
He's in the Billy King Hall of Fame of awful trades.
Well, last night, I mean, they did score 146, and all their pieces were were clicking the way they wanted to. I mean, you have,
they
of course, Fox.
They should be good.
Yeah,
They should be. They have so much talent.
Like, but they're still young.
Often,
they have to.
How often can you pick in the lottery and, like, not eventually be good?
I mean, how often are the Cleveland Browns going to draft first-round picks? And
that's different. Thank you. It's a 52-man roster versus 13.
I don't hear it. I mean, guys still have to play.
So, no, I agree. Yep.
I mean, they might have played at the ceiling last night because Fox performed speaks for himself. Buddy Hield went 10 for 17 and scored 27 last night.
I'm a big Buddy Hield fan.
And has 6 assists. So he played well. And
I mean, this is a team with a lot of young guys who, obviously, it's the West, so it's a lot tougher to make the playoffs.
Bagley had 18 off the bench.
I'm not saying they're like a 500 team, but they should be respectable this year.
I don't think they'll be. I don't think they'll be in a lottery this year. I think they'll be.
I would love for them not to be in the lottery.
I think they will.
I would love nothing.
No, better. They'll be in the lottery.
They'll be in the lottery. They're not making the playoffs.
They're not making the playoffs. You have to be in the playoffs.
They won't be. I don't think they're a bottom 10 team in the league right now. If they're French, they're French.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. As of right now, the Kings are among the best teams in the NBA. I don't care what anyone says.
All right, yo, Milwaukee Bucks, Sacramento Kings finals. You heard it here first.
Okay, now here's the thing about the Kings' bottom line. The Kings have the potential to do something great.
Not this year.
No, just listen. They have some guys that have incredible potential. Okay? I'm not saying all of these potentials are going to be fulfilled, and everything is going to go right. I'm just saying they have established a good base for once.
I will agree with that.
Knowing Vlade, they'll trade De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Marvin
Bagley
for Jimmy
Butler. Just hoping that they don't mess this up and just let the culture actually impact everyone that is coming in. And I think they can bring something, like, within the next 5 years, I think they can hopefully become a playoff contender.
I mean, a lot of things are happening in 5 years.
I'm hoping if they keep the same players.
They don't have a pick this year.
They,
you gotta remember that.
Yeah, also I personally don't believe any of the guys that any of their young guys are number ones on a championship team.
Absolutely not.
I think
and
all of
them
have
never been a free agent destination.
Yeah.
Especially given
Sacramento.
You know who goes to Sacramento? Guys who are at the tail end of their career. Here's $10 million to just hang. How long's Zach Randolph been there?
Picked him up
a
couple years.
Yeah, he's.
That's like when they decided to sign Zach Randolph and Vince Carter 20 years out of their prime.
Yeah.
I think that was the same year they signed Rondo. That was a great, like, 2004 All-Star team.
But hey, Vince Carter could have installed, like, something great with these young guys. Maybe he left.
That's why Atlanta signed him. Now we're on to something. Well, it's the Vince Carter effect. Come play a year, and then you start.
I'm just saying, the guy is nice.
30 and 52.
I'm just saying, the guy's nice. The guys learned from him. I'm just saying, something in Sacramento is cooking. What is cooking? It could be atrocious.
I don't
want
to cut you
great.
Off. Don't think we have many Kings fans listening to this, so maybe we should
move on. We have enough time to talk about one more of the other three teams. So you going to do Wizards, Rockets, or Lakers?
I want to do the Wizards or Rockets. I don't care what anyone else.
Probably Rockets because they shouldn't
you
be.
You do Rockets?
They
all right, let's talk about the Rockets.
Give it to us.
Houston Rockets are, at this point, the second-to-worst team in the Western Conference at 1-5. They are what is it, a bottom five team on the defensive end now?
They're bottom 10. So
bottom
10? They're 20th. They're giving up like one.
The thing is, when you score 130 a game, you can be bad defensively, unfortunately.
Not really, because they have a minus 10.5 point differential. So like they're not really flipping. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, Carmelo Anthony obviously has been
defensive stalwart.
He's been cooked for a few years. So we need to take him out of the oven. He's just not giving them anything on either side right now.
No.
And then obviously, you know, Harden was out a few games. Chris Paul had that suspension. So, you know, you have some guys not consistently in the lineup. But still, this team is coming off of a year where they took the Golden State Warriors to 7. And it could be argued that if Chris Paul didn't get injured, that they could have won that series. And now they're 1-5 to start the year.
They're 1-5. I think it's a bit of an overreaction. You know, Daryl Morey will figure this out. They're gonna be like a top, you know, 4 seed in the West. And
I mean, obviously, he's sniffing around on Jimmy Butler. So
no,
he
absolutely,
that
they're gonna
that,
make
that,
a move.
Daryl Morey will
make a move,
and he's the one to pull the trigger. Like,
yeah,
and like you said, there. I mean, they've had guys banged up, suspensions. But my thing is just the defense, man. Like, they only have two like really solid defenders in Tucker and Capella. Like, other Paul's than that, a beast. I mean, Chris Absolute Paul. Chris beast. Paul will
yeah,
will
Chris
give
Paul
you some
can,
defense, but
Chris
like,
Paul can lock down. So
performing a winging spot is just atrocious.
No. The losses of Trevor Ariza and Luke McGaugh.
I got a quick Clint Capela story for you guys. I know you guys are gonna make fun of me for this. So I decided to go to the, what year was it? 2014 NBA draft, right? With my buddy from home, the Sixers had the 3 pick and the 10 pick. It was my 21st birthday. We're like, let's go. So we go to the draft. We go to a hotel room in Brooklyn, you know, just like a decent hotel. Turns out Clint Capela is staying in the room next to us. We had never heard of him. We had no idea who he was. So a nice, massive 7-foot tall guy sitting next to us. I end up talking to him in the lobby, like find out his deal. Goes first round to Houston. Could not have been nicer. Since that day, I've been the biggest Clint Capela fan there is, and I love to see him get paid last year. Moving on, that's all I had to say. I love Clint Capela.
Thank you, Seth, for the relevant point.
great guy. Very nice guy.
What else should we talk about?
Aside from the D'Antoni has been the one that's just been kind of saying that, like, this is something they're going to figure out. They've just been playing on their heels.
They're fine.
But,
they're playing Brooklyn tonight. Houston -3 lock of the century.
They're also
at
playing
Old Takes Explorers just in case.
They're playing the Bulls tomorrow night on the back to back, so
they'll be okay. Next
if they don't get a win,
five,
if they don't get okay, six. Here's the thing: if they don't get a win
on both,
no, if they don't get at
they'll
least
win,
a
win,
win with those games, I'm gonna start being worried. That's here's the thing: there are 82 games, so obviously right now we're talking about stuff that, you know, the Kings don't really matter at this point. Rockets losing doesn't really matter. Golden State is still going to lose less than 5 games. It's all that matters to me. But the Rockets, at the end of the day, are going to be up there with everyone else.
Okay, I'm pushing this forward because
let's go. Yep.
So last part, we were talking about how great the Portland Trailblazers Halloween costumes were. And it wasn't even Halloween yet. But the other night, we just have a whole slew of guys just come in. You got LeBron as Jason. Got Clay as Jackie Moon. Got JaVale as the Grinch. Victor Oladipo, Black Panther. So I'm going to – Robin Lopez, E.T.
Yo, E.T., that was a great – that was
great.
A great look.
So I'm going to pose this question. Best outfit now. Go. Greg first. Go.
I think I'm going to go Rolo. He was just – he looked so – he was into it. I mean, the man hasn't been playing a couple games. He's been DMP for the Bulls recently, but he had a lot of fun coming in. We walked by him as he was coming into the stadium the other night, and he was walking around with the E.T. stuffed plushie, and he was just like, yeah, man. And someone asked me, where's the bike? He's like, nah, man, I gotta go get the bike next. I'm on my way to pick it up. So he's having a lot of fun. I love that guy. Robin Lopez is such a great personality. I want to go Rolo.
He's real nice. I think I got Klay Thompson.
Like Jackie Moon.
It was unreal.
That was a good one.
Because he was just talking about it. He was just talking about him too. He was like one of his favorite characters.
He knew
or something.
He was gonna wear that. He obviously said that because he was wearing
Seth,
it.
Seth, I'm just loving the fact that Klay Thompson, one of the most unique individual in this league.
Yeah, he's weird.
Headband
is
play.
Like absolutely nailed.
Hold on, let me. I have a rant about that because that pissed me off.
Which one?
You want to talk about? You're going to wear the headband, but wear it over your ears. That tells you a lot about who that person is.
If you shoot the ball the way Klay Thompson wears,
that, bro.
If you shoot the ball the way Klay Thompson shoots the balls, you can wear that as a necklace. You can wear it around your waist.
Bro.
Who cares
swag
how you wear it? If you hit 14 threes in a game, wear the headband
over
however the hell
ears.
You want.
That tells you what kind of dude you are. That dude different, bro. You don't just put the head. I ain't seen nobody wear a headband over their ears since freaking Derek Fisher.
Maybe you should go.
In 2000.
We're going to go to the gym. You're going to wear a headband over your ears. Maybe you'll hit 14 threes.
No.
Maybe you'll do it.
Nah, bump that. Also, bump his outfit, too, because Jackie Moon wouldn't have been the best player in that movie. It was Coffee Black.
Corn dog, Jackie. Corn dogs.
Coffee Black.
Coffee Black was good. Downtown Funky Malone.
Hey, Downtown Funky Malone was good.
I like Vakaitis personally.
Seth, what's your favorite costume? Who was your favorite costume?
This is tough. I said it earlier. I thought DeAndre Ayton was good. I think that Pennywise thing is creepy. And anyone who pulls it off, you know, good for them.
Did y'all see P. Diddy in the Pennywise?
That was amazing. It was like, Who's Afraid of Clowns or something? And they were just dancing around. So funny.
Because you saw the video where he was on Ellen.
Yeah, he scared him. It was amazing. All right, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Louis, did we hear yours? Who did you?
Yeah, he liked Jackie.
Yeah, all right.
Do you ever pay attention to what I say?
You know
Greg?
What? I'm probably going to go with LeBron. I'm going to say what I'm going to
tell you. LeBron was good.
He picked Jason. Jason is probably really that size in the movie, like 6'8", huge. So, like, he really was the physical embodiment of what people fear. Can you imagine, dog?
I would
LeBron hunting so for fast. Your life with an axe or a machete, kicking down your doors. You sprinting out, running.
I think any NBA player showing up my door on a jacket or who is he? Freddie? Jason?
You'd be scared of Isaiah Thomas?
Maybe not Isaiah. Maybe not Earl Boykins. Anyone like 6'5"?
Isaiah's got Isaiah's
I'd be scared of Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe. I don't know why.
Joke though.
That's what I'm saying. Would you be scared of, okay, let's, who's the least threatening looking NBA players? Can we
do that real quick? McConnell.
Ron no, Baker. No, TJ's got a pit bull mentality.
TJ's like that.
Ron Baker,
that's
bro.
That's fair. Ron Baker, Ron yeah, Baker. Ron Baker.
Ron freaking Baker, bro.
I have.
He looks like he's being a breeder.
All right, let's think. All right, hold on. Give me a second. We got to think of, like, literally the.
Well, you know what? Markel Fultz is still working off
biggest,
that baby face.
The like, biggest of bench yeah. scrubs there is in the NBA. That's pretty much what this question was.
Yeah. I don't know, Trey Young.
What if Boban showed up at your door?
I would steal Trey Young's lunch money, you know? Like, as a kid, probably.
Yo, no, Boban is the embodiment of an actual giant, so
Boban
I wouldn't want to be anywhere.
Boban would eat you for breakfast. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Boban eats rocks for breakfast, bro.
Boban will also hug you before he punches you, though. So.
No, I love Boban. True, but nothing is better than the bromance between Boban and Tobias Harris. It is the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So funny. All right.
I'm trying to think who else
is. It's tough, isn't it?
Like, soft-faced, like. I ain't scared.
I mean, think of it. Half these kids in the league right now are like 5 years younger than us. So.
How scary is that?
It's insane.
It's crazy.
I hate it.
All
right. I should have made it. If yeah. I blew out my knee in high school,
oh, yeah.
you would have heard about me.
straight to the NBA.
Absolutely.
All right, what's next, Drake?
The next Tony Parker.
Do you want to move? Well, I mean, this is a small thing. I just like to bring it up. Right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is leading the new MVP lines over LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Steph Curry. You know, obviously 2 weeks.
Where's Bielitsa on that?
What do we think about? Bielitsa, I do not think is a.
Didn't make the cut?
I don't think he's on the cut right now.
You hate to see it.
Makes sense.
I mean, they were undefeated. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love Antetokounmpo, and with 26 and basically 14 and 5 assists, and he's shooting 52% from the flow. Jesus. Yeah, I mean.
It's a beast.
It projects, but I mean, LeBron is being LeBron, and people aren't talking about it. He's energy.
I mean,
it's
thing,
too early to name a MVP.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing,
we're
though.
We're like 10 games into this season.
I think the
talk
easy,
to me in February.
The easy
MVP.
Point here was that the fact that the MVP generally goes to a top three seed in either conference. Yeah. Right now, yeah. The Lakers have been struggling. They're it's a projection that, you know, if everything fell to the same form, which it's not,
I mean,
it's very early.
At the same time, I think people are leaving Steph out of this conversation. Like,
which is ridiculous. I'm gonna be talking about that later. But
here's my thing, though. I think, and I agree with the Steph thing. I'm going to let Greg, because I know what he's going to talk about after. I'm going to let Greg take that over. But if you take Giannis out of Milwaukee, are they even a playoff? I mean, no, they're good. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, if they signed me from the G League.
Dog, you're not that good.
I'm the best G League.
You're not.
Right now,
you've never been to G League. Anyways, if you take
Greg, seen me. Greg will
scout
me.
If you take Giannis out of the picture in Milwaukee, is Milwaukee a basketball town?
Milwaukee, I would already argue if Milwaukee's a
basketball town. Milwaukee's not a basketball town. Yeah. They pay fans to chant.
No, I'm saying like.
Do you know that?
I do.
Do you know that?
I know.
They have a cheering section.
I know.
You get free tickets to the season, and they have practices where they chant like. They do like the four, whatever the area code is, and they have like signs and chants. It's like the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
No, I agree.
And it's because no one in Wisconsin cares about anything but cheese, beer, and the Packers. And that's
it. No, I entirely.
And that's how it'll always be.
I'm just saying, Milwaukee, if Giannis is out of the picture, will care even less about basketball.
No,
because
I
they don't have
completely
anything
agree.
Chris Middleton is a great player right now. He's balling. But if you take Giannis out of the picture, they're
I
done.
I can't believe you just put them in the same sentence.
Who?
Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's definitely their number two right now.
No, it's me. I'm telling you, they just signed me out of G League, bro.
All right, let's think about this really quickly. What's the vet minimum right now? About
1.4, I think.
1.4?
Something like that.
You think a team would sign Dre for like $800,000? He could be like a great number three
That's
point guard.
They'll sign
him. They could sign him to a two-way.
Listen. Hear me out. Ready?
Situational
He
text.
Could give you... I mean, look at him. He's like, he's clearly, he played college football, athletic. He'll give you 110% on defense.
110.
Maybe like, maybe he'll hit a layup.
It doesn't exist.
Here's maybe a layup, you know, hard D, maybe an assist or two and like 7 or 8 turnovers.
You think?
For less than the vet
That's
minimum.
That's what I'm saying,
for
bro.
For less than the vet minimum.
I would sign Dre as a towel boy. That's why I would.
I don't know if I trust him with my towels.
Yeah, nah.
Are you kidding me?
Bump all day.
He's been. He was a DB in college. Okay, his reflexes are out of this world. If someone falls,
nah, I can't shoot.
if someone falls,
I mean, Greg's seen me play him. I'm pretty average.
Hey, tell him
better
listen
than me.
To me.
That's not a. If that's someone a low bar falls,
though. Name one person who would get faster to the spot than Dre. Nobody.
The little kid with the broom.
Nobody. Dre would be that guy.
I got too much self respect.
All right. Dre, if they sell you at five at what?
Let's move
say 75K.
We can rip on his NBA prospects all year.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on. Let's move to the reason why we brought Seth on the show today.
Don't even get me going.
These
you're gonna take this whole
fresh NBA City jerseys. We've got I think around 15 teams have put their
actually I don't know if these are the City jerseys, but the T-Wolves just tweeted out a picture. They have pink jerseys.
Absolute fire.
They're pretty sweet. They've tweeted out a picture of Tyus Jones and them. I don't know if you've seen them yet.
Part of it.
Is that on that?
It's like a purple rain tribute. Cool. Let's just talk. Who's what's our favorites? What's the ones we dislike?
I think we should let Seth go on this.
I don't know. I'll say which one. We'll go around and say which ones we like.
All right.
We'll go around and say which ones we don't like.
All right.
I personally, my favorite one is without a doubt the Brooklyn Nets, strictly because of the trim on the jerseys. Shout out to Biggie, Brooklyn legend. Great music. Obviously, he was known for, what is that, a Coogee sweater, right? Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
I love those. Because it's, you know, it's not doing too much. It's basically the same uniform, but just a different trim. Everyone knows what it's about. Those are sick. Moving on. Next.
Dre.
Come on, man. Is this a question? Minnesota, baby. That purple rain. It's deeper than the jersey, baby.
Prince, I have a question.
Prince is an icon, dog.
Was the NBA telling teams, like, yo, your jerseys this year? Honor someone from your town. We got Prince in Minnesota. We got Biggie in Brooklyn. Got a fake boxer in Philly. What other jerseys are there that I'm not talking about? And that was a little hint about the jerseys I don't like. Moving on to Greg.
For my favorite, I gotta go Denver, man. I really like that rainbow look over the cityscape with the white.
It's pretty.
It's nice. It's nice scenic. You know, they go hashtag return of the rainbow here. I like it. I dig it. You, Louis?
I'm about those Lakers city.
Really?
City.
What are those?
Are those the black ones?
Full purple?
Yeah, they're purple.
Oh, they're purple?
You like those?
I like them.
I like it just because it's different from, like, the – like, it's so – okay, it's not as original as most other – like, the Wolves jerseys to me are absolute fire. But the Lakers jerseys are always, like, kind of the same color, kind of the same pattern, and I don't like it. And this full-on purple to me is,
They call the color for the jersey is night glow.
Well, they're wrong. It's purple.
I like night glow. All right, let's do a snake draft. Louis, you're up again.
Snake draft.
We're going back the other way.
What's snake draft?
You go one way and then you bring it back.
I know, but
for what? Are we still doing favorite or are we?
Oh no, now we're doing least favorite. Oh,
okay, so what do you dislike? I'd have to
probably New Orleans. Kind of,
it's an homage to Mardi Gras, you know, the color scheme.
I mean, yeah,
it's nothing special. I mean, they do Mardi Gras jerseys every year, even before the NBA even before Nike.
They could have gone harder. I feel like they could have gone harder, but I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, it's nothing special.
Been there, done that.
They could put like Uncle Ben's face on the box.
Thank you.
Zatarain.
Maybe like some French guy, like I don't know, Napoleon.
They could have put like beignets on it.
Yeah. See, right? Can we make
how about
can we
a
make
hurricane?
Our own jerseys?
Hand grenades, like literally just
the fish bowls.
Yeah, anything in New Orleans. Beads.
I'm just
could
saying.
Could put beads.
It would be. Let's make a jersey for the Pelicans.
They could even have like a Bourbon Street kind of like, you know.
You kidding me? That's fire.
Mural on that.
That's fire.
Maybe all I right. should do this, bro. Maybe I should.
Let's do it.
Should we drop out and go to like art school?
Easy question. Yes.
Okay.
10 times out of 10. Might Greg, what's yours?
I didn't like the Pistons ones.
I'm a little upset.
Why do you keep doing this, Greg?
They're really boring.
Bro, you do this
he
every
always
segment,
steals,
bro.
Yo.
Every series, bro, he steals, bro. I can't.
Nah?
They're really boring. It's just
like,
you know, black and white
striped
with
down
a
the middle,
stripe down
stupid.
The middle. It's just weird.
Okay,
it's
guys, it's Detroit. Detroit is known to be the most unoriginal
city
ever.
I'm basketball.
Detroit. I love Detroit, but
Dan Gilbert's Detroit Pistons?
Kill me.
Yeah, let's go,
Dre.
Okay, I was gonna say freaking Detroit, but Greg, no, here with
the as per usual, Greg always.
But you know what? I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do this because of I'm gonna do a change.
Oh,
I don't bang with the Magics just because last year how they had like a nice starry pattern.
That was
they just kind of shifted it now to like a solid black.
Mm.
Your regular jerseys are like that, but you have stripes on them. Why would you want to take out the beautiful night sky?
And dude, go those were so sick.
Them jerseys were horrible.
Like I said, underwhelming. Underwhelming.
Am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
All right, brace yourself, boys.
Here we go.
All right, as Greg said, I am an Eagles fan, meaning most likely I'm also a Sixers fan. I'm a huge 76ers fan. I do trust the process. I watched the days of Tony Roden. I watched the days of Jakarr Sampson. I absolutely hate these uniforms. And it's not as much the look of the uniform as what it stands for. Philadelphia, Declaration of Independence, Philadelphia 76ers, 1776, all real things that have happened. These uniforms are paying homage to Rocky Balboa, a fake boxer from Philadelphia. I could write a movie about myself right now as a boxer from Chicago that, you know what Rocky's record was? I looked it up. 57-23. That's not even that good. Talk to me about Floyd Mayweather. Talk to me about real fighters. Rocky Balboa is not a real person.
You guys are...
not real. And for years...
You guys built a statue.
I'm going to get there. Philadelphia has been mocked for years about claiming a fake person as a champion of the city. We don't need to do that anymore. Shout out the Eagles. Go Birds. We are champions. We are the city of champions. Yum. There are so many good things about Philadelphia that you could have done on these uniforms. Anything.
True.
No, how about the fact... Look at Utah. You know what Utah did? They tweeted out today. They said, something along the lines of don't fix what isn't broken. The uniforms that the Sixers put out last year...
Those were nice.
...were beautiful. Script. And they paid homage to the city.
Nice cream punch.
Unite or die. American Revolution. The severed snake. It is, in my opinion, the best marketing slash uniforms that the Sixers have ever done. Why change what isn't broken?
Hey, Seth.
Go back to your roots. Go back to that. Give me the severed snake. So they get rid of these gray uniforms.
They can definitely one-up it, though. Peep this. I'm going to drop some history.
All right, let's hear it.
My uniform for them would have been Ben Franklin inspired. Peep this. It's going to be a little risque, though.
Give me that.
Ben Franklin used to like during the daytime sometimes, used to take like air baths where like he would stand at his window butt naked. Drops. Imagine like a nice, sexy Ben Franklin butt naked on going down half the jersey.
I don't hate it with it.
Honestly, I like that more than these are just all gray. They're just all gray. Yeah. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to these.
I like them.
There's nothing to it.
It's subtle.
Okay.
That said, I'm still going to root like hell for the Sixers every time I wear them, but the three of you and anyone who decides to listen to this podcast will know that my eyes will be bleeding as I watch
play. To me, the message sucks. I agree with Seth. Okay? Philly is stupid enough to be able to statue for a guy who never lived.
Like I said, Louis, I'm going to write a movie about you. You're going to go 80-0 in the octagon.
That movie would be dope.
And Paris, France is going to claim you as their own. I can make up whatever narrative I want. Like, why are we... I love Rocky, don't get me wrong. One of the greatest movie soundtracks ever. It gets you hyped. They play the Rocky fanfare at Fair Games. Everyone knows the song. Keep it to that.
I'm feeling extremely patriotic.
Keep the video tributes. Keep all that stuff. Why, like, Sylvester Stallone's in L.A. right now getting shot up with Botox. Why do we need to pay homage to him on our uniforms, all right? He's an actor. He's not a real boxer.
I'm just saying.
He's not Muhammad Ali. He's not Floyd Mayweather. He's no one. He's not Evander. He's not a real boxer. Thank you very much.
Calm down. All I'm saying is I do like the way they look. The message may suck, but they look good.
Actually, I'm going to go back to something. I do like the photo shoot that they did. I don't like the uniforms. I thought it was cool how they used the scenes from the movie and the different settings and, you know, TJ punching the meat and stuff like that. That was cool. Should have just done it in, like, sweatsuits and not, like, made these your uniforms.
Okay. So Philly, by far, best uniforms of the league.
No.
According to Seth.
You heard it.
Fake news. That's all I got. I'm, like, out of breath.
We got to move on to the last segment anyway.
We got, like, 10, 15 minutes before Dre's got to
go. I got to bounce.
Got to go.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes. So let's go. You got 3 minutes
for
yours.
It's time for the specialty segment. We did this last time. You got Dre's All Draws team, Greg's Gripes, and Louis' weekly overreaction.
Underhyped that. And Louis' overreaction.
He makes overreactions every day, so it's nothing.
You make the overreaction.
It's just Louis.
So.
Trademark.
I decided.
Give it to us.
Instead of an all draws team this week,
big draw.
I'm going all draws first ever all draws Hall of Fame induction.
Ooh,
give me that.
I'm excited for this. We need graphics.
It's probably gonna end up sad, and I mean no harm by saying
bury the lead.
Yeah.
But Derrick Rose is the first member of the All Draws Hall of Fame.
Snap it up. Snap it up. There we go.
And it's partly because that performance was awesome. The efficiency was awesome. The moment was awesome. And he will be the first league MVP, not to make the real Hall of Fame. So at least he can get into All Draws.
Pour one for the homie. I respect that. I've kind of got emotional because of that.
Like I said earlier, it's just like his reaction after.
That's what gets you.
It's really what made it.
Even if you don't care about sports.
Like anyone could put up 50 and it's a big deal. Anyone could put up 50 and it's a big deal. When he did it, it was a bigger deal.
Greg hates what's fun and beautiful about the world.
It was good for this world.
You know why, Greg? Greg, you know what? You know what, Greg? You're fired. You're demoted to concierge of the podcast.
So I started an
executive
producer. Welcome
to Lane Violation, hosted by me, Seth, and not Greg.
So I started an exec producer, and I'm what now? And I'm going to concierge.
You were
going to
be water boy.
He was talent acquisition.
Yeah,
and then now he's
assistant to talent acquisition.
So assistant to the talent acquisition.
Who's getting the talent now?
Everyone else but you. all right, Greg. What pissed you off this week?
All right, so we got to talk about NBA Twitter trying to NBA Twitter and also NBA media not giving Steph Curry his due as an MVP candidate. And also as, like, a top 15 player in the history of the NBA. That's two separate points. I'm only going to make one right now because there's no time. But Steph Curry last week dropped 51 points and 11 threes in three quarters of basketball on the Washington Wizards. And you know what his averages are right now for the season? He's averaging 33 points a game. He's shooting 53% from the three-point line, 55% from the field. This guy is insane.
These are all highs for him, too.
Steve Kerr just do us all a favor and let one of these guys who's going off play the fourth quarter just to see what they
can
do?
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I know you already won, but, like, just for us.
Let him go 80
just
points.
Let him go.
He's not even trying out there. He's just having fun. He's chucking up 30-footers, and they are splashing
nice.
Home.
To go along with Greg, it's incredible to me that everyone is under-hyping him because he was unanimous MVP, 2 years ago?
Something like that.
2 or 3 years ago.
It was the second of the two, right?
And he's demolishing everything he's done already this season within 9 games. And everyone's like, well, it's the Warriors. They have so many players. If you're the best player on the best team in the world, you are that much better than everyone else.
He's hunting for Finals MVP. He is so mad that he didn't get it last year over Kevin
Durant.
Close and I mean, Kevin Durant and him were both really good.
It'll
in that
be a
series,
real shame when the Kings knock him off in the conference finals. You know what's good?
He is ready because that is the thing that's going to push him up to the next stage. But I don't understand why I'm seeing some polls on Twitter like, yo, I'm just saying, if Steph Curry wasn't like a generational 3-point shooter, like how good
what
would he
that
he's
mean?
A generational 3-point
what
shooter.
Does that
like,
mean?
What
it's
do you
like
mean?
If Shaq was 4 feet tall, would he have been as dominant?
No. Like if LeBron James wasn't 6'8", of course he wouldn't be the same player. You can't do that as an argument.
Be a completely different player.
You guys are idiots. Whoever said that, you're an idiot.
Well, back to one quick thing, how you had mentioned that he's like surrounded by all these good players. If you're pulling up from half court, who cares who's on your team? What does that change?
Thank you.
You're a great shooter. Who cares who you're playing with?
He
gets open looks. Every players on every team get open looks.
As soon as he touches the ball, that's an open look. So what are we talking about here?
That's the thing Steve Kerr was saying in a press conference. He was saying, yeah, I'm finding myself saying good job when he's pulling up from the parking lot now because it's a good shot for him. And I've never Steve Kerr was saying something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, ladies and gentlemen. He was saying, it's kind of weird when you're a coach and you have to tell your guy good job when he's pulling up from 30 feet.
Let me explain this real quick.
How do you even understand this?
Look at this, bro. This dude shoots better on a basketball court than I could with a ball of paper towel shooting into a trash can.
It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
There are some people who are like, oh, man, he hasn't faced adversity because he has, like, 4 All-Stars. Dude, can we talk about the Golden State Warriors as a franchise
in
2009 when he got drafted?
Tell him what's up, Greg.
Tell him what's up, Greg. He was dealing with injuries, and he came back, and he just became Steph Curry that we know now?
Come on.
Wasn't Monte still there when
Monte
he got
Ellis
there?
Was still there. What are we talking about?
Talk about the real Splash Bros. Monte Ellis.
Andre Turan is Seth.
Right. I'm a little hurt.
So it was a little more. That was a little more heat this week than last week.
I agree.
I always bring the heat.
I'm
Louis.
Sweating,
let's
guys.
Go. Let's go with your overreaction. We gotta wrap up. So let's go.
Kyrie Irving without the fro is 17,000 times better than Kyrie with the fro. It was all because of the fro. Thank you for cutting it.
And it was the awful like headband look with the
Jason
fro.
Jason Tatum, you can shut up about not blaming on the fro. I'm blaming everything on the fro because Boston has been killing it since he cut it. I think he gained more speed. He can. Dude, he's not
physics,
weighted down when he's jumping.
Obviously, he's faster.
He doesn't have as much weight when he's jumping and for the layups and for the shots. He's a much better player without the fro.
Can I give a counter argument? So what about all these cats with froze that I classically?
They're adjusted.
Jared Allen.
They're adjusted.
No, not in basketball. I'm talking about like Black Dynamite.
Yo, let's talk
Brown from Boondocks.
I'm just saying.
Let's talk best froze in NBA history right now in our lifetime.
Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace, Josh Childress, Jared Allen. Who else are we talking?
Jackie Moon.
Anybody that played in the
70s. That's why I said our lifetime. Like obviously right. Dr. J. Like
that was
Josh Childress. Loki had a great fro.
All right, but the flat tops though, like Nerlens.
Shumpert,
I love a nice flat top
for the Hall of Fame of flat top.
I love a nice flat top.
I had the best flat top ever though.
You
had a flat top?
No, he didn't. No. He's lying.
I was gonna say I had a flat top. But that's why I'm wearing a hat today.
So go back to the reaction though. Kyrie Irving is balling right now, and it's because he cut the fro. So. Thank you to his barbershop, whoever that is. Kyrie, shout him out. Give him some business because he deserves it because he made you a better player. I thought about it.
I thought that was.
I would say, what do I have to say? An overreaction?
No. You do. You
let's final, do, well, for, you did your rant, but let's
for,
say
for you final thought.
I
just
ran about everything.
Something you want to talk? Something you got
all
3
right.
minutes? Talk about
all
something.
Right, here
something we,
go.
We haven't learned
we
from the NBA.
We
yet.
Mentioned it earlier. Everyone relax with Houston. Everyone just chill out. They're gonna be fine. Everyone do less. They're going to win games. They're going to be a top seed in the West. Their schedule is going to get easier. They're playing Brooklyn tonight. Obviously, Brooklyn has been outperforming their expectations.
Oh, no. I like Brooklyn.
I like Brooklyn a lot.
Actually,
you know what?
They're
I'm going to
really
segue
well.
This into Brooklyn.
All right,
I changed
okay.
my mind.
All right, okay.
Let's talk about a guy. Let's talk about Brooklyn for a second and what they've done with
boy,
what
Kenny's
they have.
Coaching, man.
Yo, Kenny Atkinson.
What they've done with what they had. Billy King completely obliterated the organization with that trade.
Yep.
Does he not know what trade protections are?
Not at all.
You were trading for guys, if not past their prime, like literally days from their prime. Like, I think Paul Pierce needed a walker to get off the plane in Brooklyn. This is a team who hasn't had a first-round pick, a top pick that was theirs in a long time. They traded for D'Angelo Russell, who, you know, hasn't been... It wasn't the player that
like
Lakers expected him to be. I think he's
child,
good.
Man.
I think right now the best pro prospect on Brooklyn might be a little bit of a homer pick, but he's been awesome. Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert.
Yeah. Caris LeVert is a phenomenal player. Like I said, bit of a homer pick.
I mean, Jared Allen also.
Jared Allen,
really
I mentioned
good.
Him in the fro conversation.
Yeah.
They have good young players.
Yeah.
They're going to have cap space.
Guess
and
what
they've
else?
Made
Guess who else has good players? Young players. The Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
And they're going all the way.
Caris LeVert is a phenomenal player. If he didn't get hurt at Michigan his senior year,
he would have been
like a top 10
pick yeah,
without
top
10. A doubt.
Absolutely.
He was a steal. And I think, you know, given their situation, Brooklyn has some solid pieces in place. They really do. And imagine if they didn't make that awful trade. They would have had top three. Imagine this Brooklyn team and add Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because essentially that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
This Brooklyn team is going to make some noise.
Yeah.
They're going to attract Kyrie. They're going to attract Jimmy Butler. And, you know, they could make the best of an awful situation. That's my final thought.
They'll be a fun team to watch in the offseason.
That was
you
quite
know
a pivot
about,
right
you
there.
You know what I love about this season, though, is that it's not anything like we expected so far. And I'm loving the
Sixers are undefeated, so that's not what I expected.
It's really crazy, and that's why we're talking so much, and that's why we're arguing so much. And all I gotta say is draw.
Well, I'm going to take it out since we just
absolutely
talk about the Brooklyn Nets in the show. But once again, guys,
a lot of Brooklyn and the Cavs talk today.
Yeah, a lot of Kings. Wasted breath. So, guys, we want to thank Seth for coming in again.
Thank you for having me.
It was awesome. I think it was another good pod, Greg.
Yeah.
But for those of you who are tuning in, y'all the real ones. Never forget that. But thanks for listening into Lane Violation Episode 4. And keep listening, because we might just cross the line. Deuce.